7 minutes after 11, welcome to this special forum on youth and the youth speaking for themselves about this country that we live in and an absolutely stunning couple of guests that we have. Tsego Fatso Mehwe, who's on the line with us, couldn't get here because of the strike. Octavius Pukubie, who is an entrepreneur. Kay Selisho, who's an entertainment journalist. And then Oliver Dixon, who is a social and political commentator and also who does a range of interesting work when it comes to coaching, debate, public speaking and other related communication skills. I want to move on and talk a little bit with you guys about representations of blackness and black people when it comes to the media, when it comes to entertainment. Let's contrast two typical clips. If we look, for example, at the history of entertainment globally, for that matter, here's one from The Roots, and I should say, trigger warning, prejudice.
Anyone looks away takes a turn. Toby, I'm going to give you a chance to avoid this. Maybe Mr. Waller will let everyone enjoy this blessed day. I want you healthy, so you'll work hard. All you have to do is tell me your name.
I'm Gunther Kinte.
Son of a... Your name is Toby. Now tell me your name.
I'm Gunther Kinte.
That's not your name. Toby's your name. Now what is your name?
Zane. Gunther Kinte.
Toby's your name. Now I'll ask you again. Tell me your name. Shut it! Shut it! Shut it! Toby!
Say it. Gunther Kinte.
Toby! It's Toby! Now say it! Toby! Damn you! Blacklegger bastard. You will not move from here till you say your name. Not if night falls or a new day comes. And you will say Toby. Say it. Say it! Say it! Say it!
And what do I hurt my boy?
Please. I'm here.
No, Benta. I can't see our boy. I've looked for him everywhere. He isn't coming home.
Say it! Say it! Say it! Say it! Say your name. Your owner's wife chose for you. Say your name. So you know this ain't Africa. This is Virginia. And you're the property of John Waller. Like the horses and hogs. Nothing more. Say your name so you know what you are. Say it. Say it.
Yo, hectic, eh? Jeez. My goodness. Contrast that with all the rage in the last week or so around a very different film that actually centers black people as superheroes and all sorts of things. It'll be hard-pressed to find a white person in Black Panther.
Tell me something. What do you know about Wakanda?
It's a third world country.
Textiles, shepherds,
cool outfits.
All a front. Explorers have searched for it. Called it El Dorado. They looked for it in South America. But it was in Africa. The whole time. I'm the only one who's seen it and made it out alive.
world is changing. Soon, there will only be the conquered and the conquerors.
Step into the spotlight.
You are a good man.
Step into the spotlight.
With a good heart. And it's hard for a good man to be a king.
And shout out to John Carney. I hope you could hear his voice there. Absolutely amazing. And of course, now there's been a big brouhaha over the cast and everyone else involved, and also allegations of affirmative action for black people. So big debate that has resulted because of the cast. And I can tell you, within the first 24 hours of that trailer being released, there was something like 89 million views. I'm going to start naturally with you on this one, entertainment journalist Kay. Everyone gets so excited to see black people not in horrible, tear-inducing stuff about colonialism. Is it too soon to think that somehow this is going to change narratives and representation? One swallow does not a summer make.
It's absolutely not too soon. I mean, the first time I, as a comic book geek, was introduced to Black Panther, I had the most, what I can call, lit reaction in the cinema, and I had to get shushed by the other people in the cinema. And in addition to him being the first African superhero who's not catering to cliches, he has a female bodyguard who is not your stereotypical sexy comic book woman in crop tops and long hair. She is a muscular black woman, bald-headed, who had one line in the entire movie, but she was the baddest person on screen. And as much as it's just one film, it's the beginning of something great.
Well, it's never too soon to obviously celebrate changing narratives that are positive, but I always feel so sorry for us when we're so desperate to see structural changes, changes in cultural representation. You get like one big one, and then you think that this is going to be the turnaround.
Listen, I mean, I saw the trailer, and the roots, I saw that scene. I mean, it was very difficult to watch, very difficult to watch. But the psyche, as you transition from that kind of a depiction of black people to what Black Panther does, I mean, it's very inspiring. The paradigm shift is huge. And you can imagine what it's going to do for young kids, you know, in high schools, you know. I think it's one of the things that are required in the ecosystem of us, you know, black people developing, questioning, wanting to change the narrative, you know, from business to arts, you know, thinking of ourselves not only as victims, but taking and being able to present, you know, a formidable stance in terms of what we are able to do and what we represent. So I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it, to watching the whole movie.
Mm.
So it's important for us, you know, in developing. I mean, if you think about it, you know, even in business, you took it to business. So, you know, Volo celebrated a Patrice Motsepe, a Cyril Ramaphosa, you know, you want, you know, few other guys to also come in. So when you watch a movie like that and you shift it to the daily life, of black people across the world, is you want, you know, something to look forward to. You want something that to aspire, something that says, you know, we actually are able to do this. So that representation is very important. Psyche, the paradigm shift is important. I think I saw it and I was like, this is what we need. We need more of this from the entertainment side.
Yeah. And speaking of the psyche, it's on a deeper level. It stops this othering of black people where, if white people are portrayed in a certain way and black people are portrayed as opposite of sorts, it also perpetuates that idea of perceived superiority. So if we can have a Captain America and a Black Panther on equal footing, it means that we can start to see ourselves in a different way. I mean, growing up, the movies that I loved, that I still love, but I can think about now, are The Clueless and The Mean Girls and the Addams Family. These are all movies that have zero to no black people in the films, but I loved them so much. And now that I've grown up, I'm starting to think all these girls I looked up to growing up were all white girls. So now that I have people that look like me, and that my little sister has people that look like her, she can grow up thinking of herself in a different way than I thought of myself when I was younger.
Do you share that optimism?
No. two reasons. Okay, first of all, shout out to Atanda Okani. He can also now walk through Melville feeling like a superhero.
He already does. He already walked. I love him. He knows I love him to bed, but he already has that walk.
He's amazing.
I love him.
But look, it's important for us to see ourselves through a different lens, that we see that it's also possible for black people to be superheroes, to be these sort of things. We didn't need to look to fictional movies to see that. We could have looked to reality. You know, if you look to people like Wade Van Niekerk, Akani Simbine, Trevor Noah, those are people who give us the hope that we need, that it's possible.
But what about people from when you were 10 years old?
I never had a TV, so I never really watched TV. I was
but you need this kind of things through all mediums.
Yeah,
but that's the point, right? Because there's different categories. We're talking pop culture.
Here's where I disagree, is that you can't separate the pop culture from the politics, because that influences how you see yourself to a large extent, and that influences your political behavior and attitudes and convictions. The thing here is that this movie says black child, it's possible. And in a political system that says exactly the opposite, right? So what happens is an essentialization of black excellence that's only accessible to those who are lucky enough. The reason why I got I was able to go into the top three universities in South Africa when I matriculated in 2011, you know, was because I was lucky. I was lucky because I was born in the right place. I was lucky because I had access to information at the right time, right? Many black people don't have that same luck, right? So these things are almost impossible for them. And you know, when you keep saying black child, it's possible, when there's absolutely nothing else that says to them it's possible, you tell them that,
you
get what I'm saying? You become apathetic to the political system, and there's a reluctance to break it down.
Tagafatso, before we let you go, you've been fantastic despite the difficulties of being physically outside here. What are your thoughts? Pop culture, we are desperate for new representations of black ways of being. Should we get excited about this kind of film, or should we be as cautious as Oliver is saying we should be?
I think we should be excited. I am excited because we've seen ourselves, you know, when you watch movies and you see a black woman as a prostitute, she's loud, she's all those negative things. But now we're coming up, emerging as we can do it. Yes, it's fictional, but it works on the psyche as well. You know, like you said, we didn't have to look to fictional characters, but I think it still plays a role in our minds, because black people still do have an inferiority complex, sadly. You see on Facebook, people go like, we look at how black people deal with crowded places. They go like, black people just go, mind your sins when people are walking in front of us. But white people go, may I please pass? But the joke is on us. So we still do have an inferiority complex as black people. So I think, it's fictional, but it still plays in our mind that actually I can.
Absolutely. Tagafatso, thank you so much for your participation today. I appreciate it. We're going to take a break, and then with our three friends here in the studio, we'll just wrap it up on the other side of this. But before we do so, I must also say thank you so much for all of your voice notes over the last 80 minutes since yesterday. In fact, we've been collating them. And this is what I love. Despite what some of the haters sometimes think about us as a community station, really, when it comes to reaching out, this station is right there near the top. And I'm not just saying it because my paycheck comes from this building. In fact, we've had a lot of calls, and a listener wants to hire that guy who called from Polokwane. So that's beautiful. And another listener would like to sponsor a student. And that just really warms my heart. We are going to facilitate those processes of putting them in touch with one another. And that's exactly the kind of giving that, of course, is synonymous with both Cape Talk and 702. 21 minutes after 11. The Youth Forum is coming to an end. We've only got 5 minutes. I want to pick up on your last point, which is one I also feel quite strongly about. On the one hand, Oliver, you're right. I mean, we need good news stories, and we need to ask ourselves, how do we scale them up? How do we multiply them? But the danger, though, isn't it, Kay and Octavius, is that we get so excited, we forget to remind ourselves that the struggle is so structural that the exceptional story doesn't mean that everyone can just have a magic wand in the morning and say, I hereby declare myself now unemployed. I hereby declare myself a talented young actor from Limpopo who's now actually in Joburg being cast into Generations. Mm-hmm. And that's the problem, is that when we get too excited about the exceptions, we pretend that the people who are not already in the industries are just lazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But listen, the important thing is that you need a multiple, you know, a strategy that has multiple pathways, right? So we firstly want to drive that culture as much as we can, right? We need to get as many people excited about wanting to be that character in Black Panther, Black Panther. Whether everyone is going to, it's a second question. It's a second layer that we now need to resolve, right? We've pushed the access to access of this information. We're now, if we continue to have more people wanting to be these things, whether entrepreneurs or, you know, celebrities or actors, whatever the case is, we now get into what do we need to make available to allow this guy. So structurally, what avenues or infrastructure do we need to invest or put to allow this guy? So that's what you need. But you won't be able to invest. The business case will be flawed if we do not have enough demand. So if we've got demand, it makes it much more easier for us to be able to roll out these things and all put forward very compelling cases. But you need that. So structurally, yes, you need you will have those problems. But the fundamental thing that we need across the board is to accelerate that that access to information, make people excited or want to be it. When they want to, then and they can't, then we are starting to solve the second problem. It's okay, what do we need? Do we need to build this thing? We need to build theaters in rural areas. How do we sustain these things? How do we involve? How do we incentivize private sector? How do we get private sector involved in this thing? So that's then the second layer. Then the third layer is, how do we then get this talent, or whether it's in business, whether it's in arts, whatever the case is, to compete worldwide? What do we need? Do we need to give these guys more, capital? Do we need to train them, to get them to be mentored by you, Eusebio, so to be mentored by someone else? So it's different layers, but you're not going to do one thing and think it'll solve everything, solve all the problems.
Okay, we've only got about 3 minutes left. We'll have another version of this, I promise. And I'd love to have exactly you guys back in the studio, because there's so many issues we couldn't get through. Yeah. But in the 3 minutes left, all of you can have a bite of the cherry. I want you to respond to a tweet that I shared with you during a commercial break earlier. Youth should read more, says a tweet.
We read. We read now more than ever. I think we read more than our parents did, except books are so expensive in South Africa, but we expensive. Certainly do
yeah.
read.
Yeah.
Although we're the generation of Twitter and information, doesn't mean we're just tweeting and not reading. Mm. We are actually reading. We're supporting each other's literature now more than ever. If it wasn't for us, the youth of today, Chimamanda would not be selling the volumes she's selling at. Mm. I think to a large extent, you, Eusebius, wouldn't be selling the volumes you're selling at. And it's because young people are yearning for information. We're decentralizing information and we're absorbing it and pushing out our own information. Mm. So we certainly do read and produce.
Do you guys? I don't want to ask awkward questions, so I'm not going to look at anyone. What are you currently reading? What was the last book you read cover to cover?
Mine is a very cliche. It's Chimamanda's Americana.
I haven't finished it. I started. That thing is long, man.
No, but
I must get on with the story.
I read a number of books. I'm lucky enough to be in an industry where I get books handed to me for free. But how do people think we got where we are? We are all readers. Yeah. It's just that our patterns of consumption are different, because in the morning I'm reading tweets, in the afternoon I'm reading articles, when I'm at home I'm reading books.
Book. Yeah. Did you just say, Kay, I'm a reader, retweet?
That is also a form of reading. It's just that our patterns of consumption are different. Yeah. And in terms of books being expensive, I don't know what the current pattern of consumption for younger people, my younger sister's age, are. But I was always in the library taking out one book after the other, reading those things and taking them back.
Our libraries are poorly maintained. They're not badly and badly stocked, because the state doesn't support it.
But as much as they are those of us who can go to exclusive books, there are also avenues, other avenues that people can take to go and get books that aren't the glamorous ways that you see on Instagram. There is a little makeshift market at the
all
back
over
of,
the place.
No, at the back of the mall. I'm just giving an example. Yeah. At the back of the mall.
But even downtown Jersey, on every street corner, you find books.
Where I stay, there's a man who sells secondhand books, 5 rand and 10 rand. I take my sister there every month with 50 rand and I tell her to pick books to the amount of 50 rand 100%. And she reads them. Yeah. So there are different ways for people to access these things. We need to stop this thing of, oh, things are this way, what are we going to do about it now? You can do little things here and there to change that, and that also goes into
Octavius, does your reading go beyond status updates?
yeah, it does. But I tend to read more business books. You know, I'm reading How They Blew It Now.
What's it called? How To?
How They Blew It.
Oh, How They Blew It.
So this
I thought you said How To Blow It.
No.
How much money do you have?
How They Blew It. Successful entrepreneurs that went on to go and be prisoners because they blew it off. But I think what's important for us is, yes, we do read, but what are we reading? That's the second question. Secondly is, you know, the whatever it is that we're reading, is it written in a way that it will catapult us to really act, you know, and contribute to the development of the country? So I'm keen to find a way how your book, for example, Eusebius, is translated into cartoons for a younger generation to be able to absorb and understand. Okay, so what do we do? There's certain history of this country, for example, that you never really see as much as you should in books in the first 12 years of your reading in school or university. I mean,
absolutely.
So it's important but we do read. We do read. We don't only read tweets or blogs.
Guys, you've been stunning. And this last
thing, what I'm reading.
What are you reading, Karen?
Yeah. I just finished Toni Morrison's The Bluest Eye.
Okay.
Fantastic. Thanks to my friends for introducing me to that. But I'm reading The Gods Who Make Mistakes, The Gods of Mistakes, by a South African author.
What is it, fiction?
No, it's not. It's not fiction. It's a very Ndumiso Ngcobo sort of comedy.
is that why you're asking about Ndumiso Ngcobo?
He's all brilliant. South Africans, please go read that.
Okay, that's fantastic. Well, it sets us up nicely for the Literature Corner coming up next with Graba Kholenga, who's already here. And she's going to be focusing on what are great books for young people to read. It's going to be lit on the Literature Corner. Do not go anywhere. Guys, thank you so much for spending time with us. I really do appreciate it. And I make a firm commitment, Megan will keep us honest. Hey, Megan, that we will have the same guests on. And we'll do so maybe in a couple of weeks' time again when our diaries can be coordinated.
Cool.
Thank you for your insights.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.